Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. We're going to talk about some interesting issues today. The culture of safety. Now, I know the feminine side of everybody's going to go, yeah, that's right. Culture of safety. Everybody should be safe. Culture should be safe. We shouldn't do anything that's not safe. Really? Have you ever been in an airplane? You go 700 miles an hour, defying gravity in a weak aluminum body that you can puncture with a pocket knife. And if something goes wrong, there's no brakes. The earth is pretty hard. But most of us have flown, have we not? Most of us maybe get a little nervous when you fly because you realize the risk of getting in something that you're 40,000 feet up in the air with, I think that's what it is, or 4,000, it's high. You're still in the atmosphere, but you're moving 700 miles an hour. And if the engines quit, you're still gonna be moving close to 700 miles an hour when you touch back down at 700 miles an hour in aluminum aircraft that you can punch a hole through with a screwdriver. There's nothing safe. Now, statistically, flying is pretty safe. More people die in cars than they do in airplanes. I totally get that. But how do we have a culture of safety when we get into an airplane at 700 miles an hour, packed with germs of who knows what, recirculating to every single human being in there? Or we get in a car and we put on our safety belt with our airbags with something that's going 65 or 70 miles an hour that has an exploding mechanism with fire and pressure to move us down the road. See, but we're used to cars and we're used to planes, so we kind of take that risk in almost unconsciously. What's going on right now with this insanity of culture of safety, especially with COVID-19? It's not practical, it's not rational, and it's not sustainable. But let's talk a little bit about that. Then I want to talk about a simple way that you can build some serious strength with very little money. And it's cheap. It's brutal, but it's cheap. So then we'll do that. Before we do that, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They sell copper tags that you can use for a variety of different reasons. They have a full trapping supply line. If you want to go catch you some coyotes, or you got bobcats killing your chickens, or whatever it is that you need to go trapping for, they've got you covered. They've got all kind of stuff. Fishing wise, they got all kind of stuff. Hunting wise, they got a full line of predator calls, electronic, and all that type stuff. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies, a company that I personally do business with because I know I can trust them. And if you're looking for somebody to do that, and you like listening to Man Strong Podcast, they are the ones that pay the bills. So keep that in mind when you place an order. You can find them on Amazon and Walmart, and Bonanza, and their own website, FunkyTrapTagsAndSupply.com, I believe is what that is. But you just look up Funky Trap Tags, it'll come up. Alan Sayers is the owner. He'll take care of you like he's taken care of me for years. So let's just think about this culture of safety. We all hear it. We've heard the governor of New York say, well, if the, you know, basically my tyranny saves a life, it is worth all the pain and suffering that I'm causing everybody else. No, it's not. Now, when we hear a politician talk about safety, or we listen to an airplane company talk about safety before they load you into a 700 mile an hour missile, and they say that safety is their first concern, you know it. It's not right. But when we hear that phrase, safety first, if you work in a factory, I bet you got signs everywhere, safety first. If your kid wants to learn a bike in the modern age, you got to put a helmet on them and goggles and knee pads and elbow pads and wrist pads. And, I mean, the kid looks like he's going into a gladiator stadium to go 2 miles an hour in the front yard. I hate to tell your moms and dads this, that is plumb crazy. Because you know what's going to happen when you put all that safety on that kid? He's going to be more reckless. The more safety you give somebody, the more reckless they become. See, I've been in some manufacturing shops before. I've been in some pretty fancy ones. And I've been in some, you know, small guys that are doing from the bootstraps that have to use older equipment. What I've noticed, and they all preach safety first, but see, there's something about the individual that realizes if you're going to do something dangerous, you better pay attention. In the new factories, you've got guards and you've got all these sensors and you got all this. And what you notice is the guys are a lot more lackadaisical around the machine. Because why? Engineer somewhere, you know, captain safety engineer, has designed these pieces of equipment where you can't get hurt. Now, you still can, but it gives the illusion that you can't. And it's a good selling point when you're selling it to a different company. Probably lowers your insurance and stuff like that. But you watch people. They don't pay that close attention to the safer the machine. Now, the older machines I've been around, I'm talking about the ones that you can lose an arm up to your elbow in, lose fingers, head. I mean, if you've never seen presses, think about something that probably weighs a ton, built into a camshaft, a camshake, a shape that's whipping around, and every time it comes down, it pushes a die on a piece of metal and makes a product or makes part of a product. Now, the newer ones, you know, you got little gadgets you're pulling them out with and this, that, and the other. The old ones, they don't have all this wraparound safety features and screens and cages and lights and sirens and all that. You got this big piece of freaking metal that's whipping at high speed right in front of your face. And you're watching it come down on a piece of metal with a die and press something out. And your job is to pull whatever it pressed out is and put the new piece of metal in it. Now, with all that safety features, do you think the person on the old machine is going to be paying way more attention? Well, you dang straight he is. Why? Because he knows he's going to get hurt. And he doesn't if he's not paying attention. And he doesn't have the false sense of security of safety. See, kids today are taught that it has to be safety first. And that doesn't work. So you got public safety and you got individual safety. Right now, with the COVID-19, everybody's fired up over public safety. But every time public does anything, you can guarantee that there's unintended consequences for that. And for some reason, politicians have never learned this lesson. So we got a virus that seems to be about as deadly as the flu that we grew up with our whole life. But it does, it is more transferable because it has a period that you can get other people sick and you not even know it. Okay, so we got a virus. We all have viruses in us. We got viruses everywhere. So the response for public safety was quarantine. It's a politically nice thing to say. We got to save lives. We got to do all that. Lives are important. I totally agree with that. But the public safety does not think about nor is concerned with the actual consequences of a quarantine. Do you know that if you kind of look around on that little machine you got that you're on all the time with a screen, child abuse right now is through the roof. So we're trading the possibility of a few percentage of people getting sick with a whole lot of kids being abused. Does that seem equal? I'll let you decide. The percentage of people that lose their jobs and end up committing suicide is much higher than the people that's going to get COVID-19 and die. So, is the public safety trumping the individual safety? It is from a public platform, but it's not in real life. Everything is risk. Now see, this is where the feminists are not going to like me. But let's talk a little bit about the facts. Men, which is who this podcast is for, have been the risk takers in society since the beginning of time. That's kind of like your job. You protect your family. That is risky. You go out and kill something to bring it back home so everybody can eat. That is risky. You go do jobs so you can make the maximum amount of money you can as a male, and you're not really doing that as the walk-in dude at Walmart. You're doing it on an oil rig. You're doing it on someone that does the lines after a storm. You're dealing with big equipment. Men, hands down, do riskier stuff than women. It's part of our nature. Cultures that don't believe in risk don't ever go anywhere. America was founded on risk. Come to a place that you didn't know anything about. There was no grocery stores, there was no gas stations, there was no road, and there was no house for you to move in, no unemployment, no food stamps, no anything like that. That took amazing risk. Now we have what I believe unequivocally is the greatest country in the world, based off of risk. We pushed west. We took risk in places we knew nothing about. Me and a friend, Jeff Dunlap, just did a podcast on Mountain Men Rendezvous. The risk those guys took were off the charts that we can't even comprehend in our modern world. And they did it voluntarily. George Washington was not even 15 years old when he goes out in the woods when we had bears everywhere and mountain lions and Native Americans running everywhere and the problems that was going on at that time. He didn't have a gun. He went into the wilderness to do maps. He wasn't even 15 years old. But your kid can't ride a bike unless he's got more tactical hardware on him than most soldiers do going into combat. Doesn't that seem strange to anybody? Because the point is, we wouldn't have had railroads. Your butt would still be on a horse because you wouldn't have had the people that lost all their lives doing the risky business of bringing oil out of the ground or the refineries. You wouldn't have the railroad tracks going anywhere because that was super risky. There wouldn't be a California that they could screw up the way they've done because no one would have went there because it would have been too risky. You wouldn't have all of the toys that we have today without risk because there's got to be somebody, male or female, that takes a risk and starts a business where they have a better chance to fail than they do succeed. Without a risk, you wouldn't have an iPhone. You wouldn't have Google. You wouldn't have computers. You wouldn't have cell phones. You wouldn't have cars. You wouldn't have air conditioners. You wouldn't have roads. You wouldn't have jack crap without people leaning into risk. But what do we hear today? Safety first. See, I'm not saying not to be safe, but you've got to logically sit back and think about the risk. When you sit your butt in your car and you turn that key over and you got a volatile vapor gas that's blowing up 4 to 8 times, 1,000 times a minute, in front of you as you drive past other people that also have this exploding contraption, that if one swerves 6 feet, both parties are probably dead. Risk. We don't want our children to have risk. We don't want adults to have risk. We don't want to have a healthcare that has risk. We don't want to have a country that has risk. Safety first. No matter what the consequences, if it saves one life. Okay. If that was really true, how come the speed limit is not 15 miles an hour on the interstate? Because there's a lot less chance for you to die in a car accident at 15 miles an hour than it is if it's 65 and you're doing 80. So is it hypocritical to say COVID-19, safety first, and then you get in a car going 80 miles an hour? Or is it schizophrenic? Or is it just the human animal is used to the risk of driving a car and we don't really understand this virus, which we're getting a lot more information on now. Individual risk is mandatory to have a good life. If not, live in a bubble. Then you'll starve to death because you won't have any food. But you will be safe until you starve to death. See how stupid it is to think that you cannot have risk, because without risk, you don't live. All of nature is built on risk. All of nature eats everything else in nature. It's risky. To be the baddest lion in the prairie is risky. That's why you see all the big male lions with scars all over them. Risky. But we used to be a country of men that understood risk and accepted those risks for something better than we had at the time. Now we're trying to see how fast we can turn ourselves into a third world country, because guys, without an economy, that's what we are. Or the government's going to print money where the money doesn't mean anything, and we're again right there with Venezuela. All because of safety first. The culture of safety. To me, it's ridiculous. See, like when I use a chainsaw, and I don't use it very often, it's just not part of my world. But I have one, and I've used it, I don't know, probably a couple hundred hours of my life. I'm very cautious with a chainsaw. Why? Because I've had a friend that cut his leg and I watched it fester for 4 months while they were trying to see if the infection would ever go away. You can cut body parts off with a chainsaw, but you can go down to Ace Hardware or Home Depot and buy one for $129. Now, I've seen people that get all of this gear for safety. And if I was doing a chainsaw all the time, I'd probably have it too. It makes sense. You're kind of helping with the risk. But this is what I want you to think about. The illusion of risk allows people to be sloppy. So if you've got some type of pants that the chainsaw can't go through, and you're cutting logs and you slip and that thing rubs up against your leg, but you didn't lose anything and you're not bleeding, are you more cautious or less cautious doing the same movement next time? You're less cautious. Till eventually that chainsaw will find somewhere where you don't have that protection. And then it's an accident. See, I think the idea of using common sense to be safe is fine, but a culture of safety is suicide. My wife's dad was an All-American for Vanderbilt University playing football. And back, I've seen pictures, and I'm sure everybody has. They use these little bitty leather helmets. I'm not sure exactly what the function was. They had like a little bitty cloth lining that would be like the inside of a coat. That was the helmet. They didn't hit helmet to helmet on purpose. And actually, when he was a sophomore, he decided he needed to quit football because he's trying to be a doctor, and he kept waking up with concussions even though he was trying not to hit people in the head. He thought that risk may not be worth it. Flash forward that today. See, back in the day, my father-in-law, which passed away, was a big dude. He was about 5'10", probably weighed about 190 pounds. Look at the NFL today. You got guys that are 6'6", they weigh 260 pounds. They run at speeds they never thought was humanly possible back when Bob was in college. And they crash like rams with these helmets. Why? Because they have the illusion of safety. And now we're finding out that these guys are having all kind of brain problems because they're rattling their brain around in their skull. Put them in them old leather helmets and see how they hit. It'll be more like rugby than it would be American football. The illusion of safety. You get careless the more that you have the illusion of safety. Seat belts. Proven that people have actually started driving faster. Helmets on motorcycles have shown that people actually drive faster. The Grand Canyon, if you don't know this, has got an American side and a Native American side. The American side has got all these signs and all of these ropes and these barriers. Don't pass over this, that, and the other. And people jump over them all the time to get pictures. And on the American side of the Grand Canyon, people die every year by falling in the Grand Canyon. They're careless because they have the illusion of safety. On the Native American side, there is no barriers. You walk to the end. If you take another step, good luck, you're about 1,000 foot straight down. People treat that with respect. And they don't have deaths on the Native American side. So the illusion of safety doesn't actually save lives. When you look at things from a big picture point of view, it just doesn't. The worst thing that I'm afraid this culture is going to do to men, to women, to this country, of the safety of culture, or the culture of safety, is it also means slow progress to no progress. It also means little to no production. An economy does not work off low production unless you want to be a third world country. So if you want to eventually work your butt off, save some money, get a bigger house, get your kids in college if that's what you decide to do. You know, get the proverbial hot rod when you're, you know, in your mid-50s because you can finally afford it. All that stuff goes down the drain with low production. Because economy, it doesn't work that way. You've got to have risk, people. You've got to believe in risk. If you're a hunter and you get in a tree stand, look at the risk you're taking. People die every year. Now, I'm going to finish with this. I call bullshit on safety first when it comes from a public point of view, because that's up to the individual to assess their own risk. Because if you don't want to do much in life, you're not going to risk very much. You don't get very much rewards, so don't bitch about it later on. But if the individual is willing to take some risk and get on an oil rig where it can blow up, and you make really good money so you can buy yourself a little farm or a homestead or whatever it is you want to do, that's up to the individual. But now, the way our government looks at us, we're children. We're not smart enough to take our own risk. They want to decide when and where we can come out of our houses, when and where we can have a business, what is essential business or non-essential business. The most demasculated America has ever been has been in the last 3 months. Knowingly or unknowingly, most of us have cut our own balls off for safety first. A lot of people are going to pay a huge price for this farce. Businesses are not going to reopen. That means all the money that went in there is going to be gone. The employees that worked at those businesses are not going to have a job. All the other businesses that either fed or worked or survived off of that business are going to struggle. All the money we printed, making what money you do have worth less. All the child abuse, all the women abuse, all the drinking, the drugs. They're talking now about making hotels house homeless people. Like, what do you think those hotels are going to be worth in a couple of months? Someone risked to build that motel, and now you're just going to give it to people that's going to destroy it for safety? It's a good thing we built this country up the way we have in the past. Because I'm here to tell you right now, if we came to the shores of this country today and it was still wilderness, we would never build this thing called the United States. Not with the attitude that we have. Because we've turned into wusses. Little scaredy cats that thinks you gotta have all this safety gear on and you can't ever be unsafe to get anything done. The cost that is pushed onto businesses for quote safety is a lot of the reason people do not get raises. And we're not talking about actual safety issues, just maybe perceived. Look at the regulations to have a commercial business. It is crazy. So just think about this when you're going through your daily life. When you hear someone say safety first, do they mean public or individual? What are the consequences for that type of mindset? And as a man, and you agree with that, are you being feminine or masculine? Because if you want to be a lady boy, that's fine. This is a free country. But don't pretend to be a man if you're going to fall in that other camp. Men take risks. They get stuff done by taking risk. They conquer business because of risk. They protect their family with risk. That's what we do. That's not something to run from. That's something to be proud of. So I want to change subjects. And I want to talk a little bit about strength. Now, I got lucky. I ordered some stuff to build a home gym because we used to live way out. Now we live way out. And for me just to get to a gym was about 50 minutes round trip. Just to get to a gym. And I did it. But I mean, you talking about a time sucker. You've turned something that would take an hour and 20 minutes. And you turn it into 3 hours. So I ordered a Rogue Rack and I ordered a belt squat and I already had some weights and, you know, and then I bought some benches that I can use in the rack squat and I had some dumbbells and different things and I bought some bands and anyway, I ended up with a home gym. Does it have everything that I wish it did? No. But do you know how sweet it is for me to walk 40 feet to go to my gym? It's pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie. Luckily, that came in like a week before all the COVID stuff started, or I'd have been in a mess. I'd have been like everybody else trying to figure out what to do. But let's say that you don't have a home gym, and maybe you can't afford to go to a gym. Or let me put that a different way. You don't see your health as important enough to spend the money to go to a gym. Because most gyms today is about like Netflix. But if Netflix is more important to you than you actually being able to function in life very well, hey, put your money where your heart is, I guess. Well, let's say that you are really struggling. Or you're trying to order something because you want to build a home gym. Or your gym's closed. What in the world can you do? Sandbags. Sandbags. You can go down to the Home Depot. They got different sizes. Some of them are more than you're going to want to grab when they're full of sand. Some of them are, you know, hold about 20, 30 pounds. The cool thing about sandbags, you can get them for a couple of bucks a piece. Sand by the ton costs near about nothing. And you can have a 10-pound sandbag, a 20-pound sandbag, a 30-pound sandbag, a 50-pound sandbag, a 100-pound sandbag. And you'll probably have $30 in the whole deal. A sandbag. What can you do with weights that you can't do with sandbags? There's a few things that you can do more functionally with a barbell than you can with sandbags, but you can do anything with a barbell or a dumbbell with a sandbag. And there's a beauty to the sandbag. It moves. It's not, you don't have the perfect handle. So like if you're curling with a 30-pound dumbbell and you got a 30-pound sandbag and you've got to hold it, you know, above where you tie it off, it's going to be swinging around, your tendons are going to get stronger, your ligament's going to get stronger, your muscle's going to get stronger, and you're going to be more functionally stronger because it's wilder to deal with. But you want to do legs, get your 100-pound sandbag, bring it up to your chest, and squat with it. Trust me, you're going to get a workout. Actually, that's what I did yesterday with my 100-pound sandbag, and I've got a belt squat. And I've got a squat rack. And let me tell you, I'm looking forward to getting back on the squat rack after the sandbag. Because it was awkward, and it made me use different muscles that I'm not used to using. You want to do curls? Do curls. You want to do tricep extensions? You can hold it flat. You can bench with them. You can do side lateral raises, rear lateral raises. You can do incline bench. You can put them behind your head and do sit-ups with them. You can just get off the floor with them. That's brutal, by the way. It's kind of like a Turkish get-up, but it's even worse. You can walk with them. You can do anything. You can lean over and do a rows with them. You can stick them behind your own top of behind your head and do neck work with them. And they don't cost anything. That's what's really cool about them. They don't cost very much. And you can get them anywhere. Now, you can get professionally made sandbags. I've got one that I can go up to 200 pounds with from Iron Mind. If I remember right, it costs like $60. It's designed for me to pick up and slam down. It's tough. I can't remember the name of them, but there's a special forces guy that's come out with this whole exercise thing, and he's got these little ruck, it's like Go Ruck or Special Ruck or something like that. And they have handles in different places. You know, it looks like a tactical piece of equipment, but it's just full of sand. And you do exercises with these things. And he's got like a whole system set up. From what I've heard, that is a butt kicker to get in shape. But you can buy that for nothing compared to what I spent for a squat rack. See, money shouldn't be an issue. when it comes to getting in shape. It really shouldn't. That's our mentality today, that you must buy. I've watched people online go around and get people where they cut up trees where they fell down, because you could have did that around here, anything from 15 pounds to 300 pounds if you wanted them. And they hook ropes to them, and they do they're doing like cables with them. They're pressing them, they're picking them up, they're throwing them over their shoulder. They're getting a good workout that's not expensive. If you've got rocks, get small rocks up to big rocks. You can curl a rock. You can do tricep extensions with a rock. You can do bench pressing with a flat big rock, or even a round one for that matter. You can do overhead presses. You can do everything. The beautiful thing about the sand, though, is it moves. And they don't have perfect handles. And when you use them, you'll realize how weak your hands are. But they won't stay that way. You'll realize how weak your forearms are, but they won't stay that way. You want big, buff biceps to show off at the beach? Get where you can pick up a 150-pound sandbag and pull it to your chest and walk with it about 50 yards. Your biceps will be begging for vacation, and it didn't really cost any money. Your lower back, your lats, your traps, all the real, you know, manly muscles that should make a difference to men, dude, they grow when you use sand. It's probably something you can actually work out the weight with, and man and wife can do together, along with the kids. Kids actually enjoy stuff like that, unless you try to be the form Nazi with them or something. They like jumping around and picking stuff up, especially if, you know, you think about what you're doing with them, and, you're not trying to get them to lift a lot. You're just trying to get them in shape. Kids today need to be in a little bit better shape. That's the reason the standards of the military is dropping so much. But sandbags is so simple, so cheap, and so effective. You can get the more fancy bags, you can get the cheaper bags. But if you're trying to get in shape and you're not sure and you don't have a lot of money, do the sandbags, for goodness sake. Put 30 pounds in there, 20 pounds if you're starting out. Do some curls. Get a little bit bigger sandbag and just press it up and down along with some push-ups. Totally change your body. More than that, I believe for men, it changes their spirit. Because if you're weak, no matter what your ego tells you, you know you're weak. If you're really out of shape, no matter what you try to convince yourself, your real self knows that you're out of shape. Your shoulders are slunched over, your gut sticking out, you every time you bend funny, your back starts hurting. You know, you can't hardly get out of a chair. And if you're not 80 years old, there ain't no excuse for that. There's really not. If you're a reasonably well, healthy person, the thing I don't understand about people, and I was the same way for years, is you think you don't have time to just come up with a basic program where you're going to feel better and you're going to be a better person mentally because of it. Because you're going to have to struggle. And if you struggle with something in real life, lo and behold, all the garbage everybody gets so excited about is not that much drama. The problem with all the drama we have today is most people don't do anything in their life that's a struggle. You want to do something hard every day. At the minimum, take a cold shower every now and then. Go jump in a lake in the wintertime. Just do something. You will be a better person for it. See, you can actually come up with a sandbag program, become in really good shape, start posting videos about it, start getting people to start following you, start getting some sponsor money, sell a program, and you can actually make money while you get in shape. Now that's pretty cool if you think about it. The sandbags is one of those things that is humbling to a man. You may not think it before you do it, but it'll humble you. Take a 50-pound sandbag and kind of put it on the ground and try to low crawl with that thing, where you just kind of slide it up yourself. One of the coolest things I do with my sandbags is 100 pounds now. I got to put a couple of 45 plates on there now. Is that I've got a handle above where I tie that off, and inside the shop it's about 40 feet, and I will bend over and I will just pull that to me with one arm. Then I'll take a step back and pull it to me with one arm. I cannot get the same muscle effect when I do rows as I do that, because it seems to be more functional the way the body wants to do. It's a cool instrument. I'm not saying that's all you ever want to do. It could be. You could be one jacked individual and have nothing but sandbags. I believe that completely. For one, if you deal with sandbags a lot and you go to grab someone's hand, you know, like if anybody ever does that again after all this COVID-19 stuff again, someone's going to think they grabbed a vice. And when you're working on stuff, it's amazing how much simpler things are to do in real life the stronger you are. Opening bottles, using a screwdriver or a wrench. Think about a blacksmith. Have you ever seen a real blacksmith that actually forges and deals with horses all day? They got great big meaty hands and meaty forearms. They can near about twist a nail in two with their fingers. It's unreal. That's the way all men used to be with their hands. But now, we're worried about getting them pedicured. If that's what you call it on your fingers, I'm not sure. So just think about everything. Safety of a culture of safety is not functional. And if you want to get more functional as a man and you're not quite sure where to start, you can go to ironmind.com and they have a whole training course. If it's a little book, it's probably about $15 with all the exercises that you'll ever want to do with a sandbag. And just use your sense. Anything you see somebody doing with dumbbells, you can do with a sandbag. But I promise you, you'll be functionally stronger after the sandbags than you are before, if you just used weights. That's what I'm learning. So there's no excuse on cost. If you're really honest with yourself, there's no excuse on time, especially with most people in lockdown. There's really no excuse. It's right between your ears. That's where the problem is. If you do the right thing, you're going to be better off. You're going to be happier. And isn't that kind of the goal? Just think about it in very simple terms. Do you want to be a weak man? Or do you want to be a strong man? I'm talking physically. You'd rather be a strong man. Everybody knows that. Why? Because you're more functional in life. That's why. I'll talk to y'all next week. Stay strong, brothers.